Well, if you got a Bible, grab it and go with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is our Christmas worship gathering together, so we have all ages in here together, from the youngest to the oldest. And I'm glad that you're with us today. If you're a visitor, welcome. We're a local church that's all about Jesus. So everything that we do is going to center on what God says in His Word and how ultimately it's all about Jesus. So as we've been going through this Christmas or this Advent season, we've been looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, because in that Isaiah gives the Lord Jesus four distinct names. So now today it's the last name of those four, and it is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, read it in your own Bible, but hear the Word of God. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the Word of God. So what does it mean that Jesus is our Prince of Peace? And I want to point you to four quick things that that definitely means for us. What does it mean for you and for me that Jesus is our Prince of Peace? The big idea is that Jesus is the royal Son who came from heaven to earth in order to establish the peace we all long for and need. That's what God means when He speaks through Isaiah and says that the Lord Jesus, who's being promised here 700 plus years before He came, He's our Prince of Peace. He's the royal Son who came from heaven to earth in order to establish the peace we all long for and the peace we all desperately need. So God has not sent a convoy of delegates or angels to establish peace. God has sent His only Son. And He is the one who will establish the peace we need. First, and the most important way that Jesus is our Prince of Peace, is that Jesus establishes peace between God and man, between Creator and created. This is the news the angels announced to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom God is pleased. It's not just peace in the sense that there's no more war, that there's no more strife between human beings. But He's saying peace on earth, from the highest to the earth, among those with whom God is pleased. And the only way that God is pleased with any of us is through us being clothed with what Jesus has done for us in our place to make us acceptable to God. That's the peace that was announced in Luke 2 by the angels to the shepherds. It's the peace the Apostle Paul announced to all who belong to Jesus in Romans 5:1. Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have been justified by faith, meaning if God has accepted you, has declared you righteous, forgiven, as if you had done everything perfectly like Jesus did, and as if your sin is totally gone because of what Jesus has done on the cross, if your faith is in Jesus to do that, God has justified you, and you have peace with God. It's the peace we need. So what does it really mean on the ground? What does it mean in our actual lives that we have peace with God? What does it mean for you? If you're in Christ, what does it mean that you have peace? The Prince of Peace has given you peace between God, with God. Well, it means that you, if your faith is in Jesus, you forever have God's smile. It means if you trust Jesus and what He's done, God the Father looks at you and forever is pleased with you. Because when He looks at you, He doesn't see the filthiness that you are on your own, that I am on my own, if I am clothed in the righteousness of Jesus through what he's done in my place, then God the Father looks at us and essentially says the same thing that he said to the Lord Jesus at his baptism. When the Spirit descended on Jesus after he came out of the water, the heavens were open and a voice was born from heaven that said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased." Every night before my kids go to bed, I tell them, or I tell Huck, when I put him into bed, we'll just take him. I look at him and say, "I'm your dad. You are my son. I love you, and you make me," and I wait, and he says, "happy." That's what the Father looks at you and says every day of your life. "You're my child. I'm your father. I love you, and you make me happy." Though we will never deserve it, though it is never based on our obedience or our performance, it's always based on God taking the perfect work of Jesus and imputing it to us, giving it to us, just reckoning it ours because of what Jesus has done. So what it means that we have peace with God, it means at least that we always have God's smile. Even when he's disciplining us for our good, we still have his smile. Romans 5, 1 and 4. Verse 1 says, we have peace with God. And in verse 4, Paul says in Romans 5, and God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God works in you, Christian, through God the Holy Spirit. The Father is pouring his love into your heart so that you know, not only intellectually, that God loves you, but the Holy Spirit works in and through you if you truly do belong to Jesus, to assure you that God loves you. He pours his love into your heart so that beyond all reason, we would somehow know because of what Jesus has done, God is pleased with me because I'm in him. So we forever have God's smile. Jesus is the prince that brings peace between God and man, and that means that we also have bold access to God, to his, as Hebrews 4 says, to the throne of grace, to find help in time of need. If you belong to Jesus, you have peace with God, and it means that God's door is always unlocked. It means that if you were to think in human terms, you have access to the king and you can go wake the king up whenever you want and ask him whatever you want. Only, as it has been famously said, only a child has the audacity to wake the king up in the middle of the night to ask him for a cup of water. No one else would dare bother the king. But the Lord has accepted you in his son. You have peace between God and you. Therefore, you have bold access to go to God anytime and find help, find grace in time of need. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's Hebrews 4. The fact that we have peace with God if we are in Christ means that we need not fear death or the return of Jesus. How many of you heard people talk in such a way that would say, "Well, I know where I'm going when I die," or something to that effect? They say, "But I don't want it to happen yet. I got other stuff I want to do." Two options there. The person is not thinking, or they don't believe in Jesus. Those are the only two options. To depart and be with Jesus is far better. Either don't know him or you're just not thinking that you would think to spend one more minute on this earth rather than to depart and be with Jesus. You think that would be better? Absolutely not. You don't know Jesus or you're just not thinking clearly when you would say things like that. You don't know the joy that waits you, Christian, to see Jesus face to face. If we would ever say, well, I'm not ready to go yet. Oh, we should say with the Apostle John, come, Lord Jesus, come. We should say with the Apostle Paul, I'm hard pressed between the two, meaning whether I die or whether I stay alive and keep working for the good of the church. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. If you're in Christ, you do not need to fear death. Death is no longer an enemy because it's been defeated. And Jesus, through his death in your place and resurrection, conquering death, has turned death into what is now a friend that ushers us into the immediate presence of Jesus. That's who you exist for. That's who's smiling at you. That's who's longing to receive you into his presence, to wipe every tear from your eye. If you're in Christ, you need not fear death. If you know someone who's in Christ, you need not fear death for them. We don't grieve, we don't mourn like those in the world. We're sad when we lose loved ones, but if they know Jesus, it is far, as Paul says, it is far better. Go be with Jesus. We don't need to fear death because we have peace with God. And we don't need to fear the return of Jesus, that Jesus would catch us, that Jesus would come back and put an end to what I really wanted to happen, or that I have to be scared that I'm not going to pass through the judgment safely. Well, if you're in Christ, you have peace with God. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, his second coming, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. You believe that, Christian? He's already dealt with sin. He's already put our sin away. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear his return. You can welcome all of it. And you can say, which is totally opposite of what the American dream false version of Christianity says, you can say with the Apostle John, come, Lord Jesus. Come now. Please come today. Please come today. I want to be with Jesus. You can say with Paul, it's better for you if I stay because it's more work that I'm doing for your good and your benefit, but it is far better that I depart and be with Christ. Far better. Don't have to fear death. Don't have to fear his return. He will come back to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Jesus is the prince that brings peace between God and man. He's also the prince who brings peace between man and man. He brings reconciliation not only between us and God, but between us, one another. Through his work on the cross, Jesus has not only reconciled us to God, he has reconciled us to one another. That's why Ephesians 2:11-22, Paul spends that whole time talking about how every person, especially this distinction between Jew and Gentile, they've been reconciled to one another. He takes the most extreme example in the history of the world, Jew and Gentile, and says they are no longer separated, but they are reconciled together. God has abolished this wall of hostility that stood in between them, that distinguished them from one another. No more. We are all one in Christ. And truly, friends, the only way human beings are going to be reconciled to one another, hostility would end, classism would end, racism, nationalism, ethnicism, all of those things. The only way those things are going to end is through the work of Jesus Christ. That's it. It's the only grounds by which we will have real, lasting reconciliation. And here's why. I want you to think this through. The world wants to have peace between man. There is nothing powerful enough in the world to bring about that peace and reconciliation. It has to come from outside our world and through Jesus. And it comes through the cross. Because the cross reveals two things. Hear me. The cross first reveals that everyone is the same amount of wicked. So wicked that Jesus had to die. That's the first thing the cross reveals about you. I am so wicked, Jesus had to die. So as they say, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. You go to the foot of the cross, there's no I'm better than you or I'm worse than you. It's we're all as low as can get. I'm so wicked, Jesus had to die. And the second thing it reveals is at the same time, if you're in Christ or if you would come to him, I am so loved. Jesus was willing to die. Only that message will bring about the reconciliation the world wants, the world longs for, but does not have the power to bring about. The cross does it because we look at one another, and no matter how we would differentiate ourselves or order ourselves, we can always, if we're thinking honestly, look at anyone else and say, they are no better or no worse than me. I'm no better or no worse than them. We are all so wicked. Jesus had to enter into history to deal with my sin. That's as humbling as it can get. And at the same time, it exalts us because it doesn't say you're so wicked, Jesus had to die and leave it there. It says, and yet you're so loved, he was willing to. And so you look at any other Christian too, and you go, that person has the blood of Jesus applied to them. Jesus spilt his blood for that person. How dare I treat them low? Only the cross brings about that true reconciliation that we need. Only the cross abolishes anything that would lead us to separate ourselves or order ourselves in terms of value. The cross says no value outside of Jesus. You've forfeited all of it through your sin. You're all equally wicked. There is no one who does good. And it says, and you're all equally accepted and loved in Jesus at the same time. So next time you look at someone and think either they are better or they are worse than me, go to the cross in your mind. We're all equally wicked. And in Christ, we're all equally loved and accepted. You don't get more accepted than clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. You don't get more accepted than adopted into the family of God. And God himself then calling himself your father. The work of Christ on the cross is the only means by which any of us will have true peace with one another. And third, Jesus is the prince who brings peace between not only God and man, not only man and man, but also between creation and man. Lower parts of creation and the highest part of creation, which is humans. You ever wonder why it seems like we are at war with the created order? Have you ever thought about the fact that there are animals, most animals, that if they're strong enough, they will kill us? And the only reason they don't is because they're not strong enough. Squirrels would eat you. They're just too small. Tigers, you see a tiger, why can't we go up and pet a tiger? It will eat your face. George Whitefield said, animals, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it's a good point. He said, animals don't need to be reconciled to God. They've never sinned against God. So they still have a right relationship with God in that respect. Humans don't. You ever wonder why a dog barks at you? Because you're an enemy of his creator. It's like, what? Why do we have not only strife between lower creation? Why is it difficult to grow things? Why are there thorns and thistles? And it seems like we have to do everything we possibly can to somehow keep food coming or keep animals at bay. Or why do we have natural disasters the way that we do? That it seems like we're not really at a war with natural disasters. We're just at their... They do whatever they want with us. We can't stop tornadoes. We can build shelters. That's about it. We can't stop any of it. Well, the reason is because the creation, the whole created order, was subjected to futility. God subjected all of creation to futility when Adam and Eve fell into sin. God cursed, put a curse upon the earth in that sense, so that we as humans would no longer have the right relationship that we should have, that God created us to have with creation. We're not in Eden anymore. We need peace between man and creation. Jesus is the one that promises to reverse the curse, not only between us and God, us and one another, but also reverse the curse that's between us and lower creation. We're meant to enjoy creation and it not to be something that always threatens to kill us, whether it be animals or what we just call nature. That's why Isaiah says in Isaiah 11, 6 through 9, he gives this beautiful image of Jesus reconciling man to the created order and the peace that will be established in the end. And it's imagery, but he's talking about the total peace that this Prince of Peace will bring about. And he says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, the nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Friends, Jesus is the Prince of Peace who will establish peace between us and lower creation. We will have the relationship with the created order that we were supposed to have before we forfeited that through sin in our parents, Adam and Eve. This is why Isaac Watts wrote verse 3 of Joy to the World. Most neglected verse of that whole song, but the best. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. Jesus comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. That's what Jesus has come to do. He's the Prince of Peace. And finally, friends, Jesus is the Prince who brings peace within yourself. This is not the most important, but this is perhaps one of the most neglected things that we need to think about. Not only peace between you and God, that's the most important. And from that comes peace between us. And from that will come when Jesus brings in his new kingdom at the end, peace between us and lower creation. But right now, at this very moment, you can have peace within yourself, within your own heart. That's why Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. You can have peace within yourself because, as we've established earlier, if you believe the gospel, not only believe it in your mind, but if you, from your inmost being, trust in the Lord Jesus and what he has done for sinners like us, you have to have already accepted that you are so wicked, Jesus had to die. If you don't already accept that, you are not a Christian. You're not in Christ. That is the first thing you must accept. I am so wicked, Jesus had to die. And at the same time, I am so loved, he was willing to. And if you actually believe that, that brings inner peace. When you fail, when you stumble, when you're fearful, when threats from the outside are coming in, or thoughts from the inside are threatening your conscience, you need but remember, the only good I've got is what Jesus has done for me anyways. I'm so wicked, Jesus had to die. Yet I'm so loved, he was willing to. That message brings peace within yourself. The peace that Jesus leaves with you. Not basing your acceptance with God, not basing your righteousness on how you're doing today or how you felt when you woke up this morning. If you're so wicked Jesus had to die, yet so loved he was willing to, every day can be the same. I'm loved in Christ. I'm accepted. I have peace with God, not based on my performance, but based on Jesus's performance for me. We can have peace within ourselves, even though when we look internally, all we see are reasons to fear, reasons to doubt. If you look within yourself, you won't find peace. But if you look outside of yourself to Christ alone, you will have peace inside yourself. Let me say that again. You look within, no peace within. But if you look without to Christ and him alone and what he's done and that his work is finished, you can have peace within, knowing he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. This is why A.W. Pink was correct when he wrote, "Jesus foresaw my every fall, my every sin, my every backsliding, yet nevertheless he fixed his heart on me." Do you know yourself to be a great sinner? Good. Because this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world. That's what Christmas is about. He came into the world to bring the peace you need, to save sinners, of whom Paul says, "I am the foremost." He's the Prince of Peace, giving peace with yourself, creation, other men, and most importantly, with God. All who believe in him will never be put to shame. Trust in him. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your love, for your grace. Thank you for the peace that you've given us by sending your royal son to be the Prince of Peace. We ask you to save sinners and sanctify your saints. Make us more like Jesus. Make us more grateful and worship now as we respond to you in these worshipful ways. Thank you that though we are so wicked, our only hope was your son dying for us. Thank you that you were willing to send him and he was willing to be crushed for us. Thank you for the peace that he bought. Help us to trust in you alone. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.